morning. Man, look around, give somebody that wave and put a smile on your face that says, man, I am glad to be here and I'm glad that you're here. Don't forget the choir, wave at them because they get to see themselves as they look around up here. But at any rate, we're tickled to death to have you with us today, and we pray that God's going to bless your heart as you take the time, the moments, and the opportunities to gather together. There's a new little one, and I am so tickled to be able to see her today. Goodness gracious. Just remember, this is a monumental day. First church service, right? There we go. So that's the first one. Y'all, hey, look, hold her up, Val. Hold her up. Yeah, just, there she is. First time here. Hopefully she'll want to come back, Like I say, hopefully I won't bore her put her to sleep. But it is good to be in the house of the Lord today. If you are monitoring with us online, we're so glad to have you with us. As always, you have an advocate there watching online, our very own Dr. John Cazito, that I'm grateful for. I call him our online minister. If you ever have any questions or anything, you can certainly put those on there, and he'll get you some answers one way or the other. So thank you for taking the time to be with us today. We pray God's going to speak to your heart, and we just pray that we take these moments to prepare our time. Isn't it great to just be with God's people? I turned around and I'm like, if Vicky's still playing, I'm late getting started, but it's just good to be able to fellowship one with another. And that's what God's people should do, love on each other. And I pray you're going to do that today, not while I'm preaching, but after I'm preaching, you can love on each other a little bit more. But let's pray as we get our time started today. Father, as we come to you, we're grateful again for this moment, the time that we can come together. And Father, we thank you for the peace that is provided just by walking into your house. Lord, I thank you for brothers and sisters that love me, that I get to love back. And Lord, just the opportunity to have our hearts filled, to put the cares of the world aside for a little while and to come into your house to hear your word. Now, Lord, I pray you'll help us as we prepare our hearts to meet you here. We know that Satan likes to throw distractions in our path. We know that he likes to keep us from hearing what it is that you want for each and every one of us. So today, I pray that we will be cautious, that we're not distracted by Satan and his henchmen, but Lord, that we would truly hear your Holy Spirit. Lord, may you speak to each and every one of our hearts, and may you give us strength and courage to act and to react in a way that would be pleasing to you. So help us in all that we do, Father, today to worship you in a way that's going to draw us close to you, and then, Lord, be a sweet, sweet savor to you. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with me as we sing "There Is Power in the Blood," 132.
There's power in the blood. There is power.
either. We'll have those that screen changed next time. It's a little hard to see that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Scriptures. We're going to be having a continuation of last week's message because I felt like if I went ahead and covered all the material, we might just be getting out now from last week. So we kind of broke it up into two parts. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of Acts chapter 16. That's Acts chapter 16. And as we look at this, yeah, this is one of those situations where I would say that anybody in here that has followed the Lord for any period of time whatsoever, you've been in this situation when you've been trying to figure out what God's doing. Yeah, you're looking at things and you think, hey, this really looks good. And you start to head down that road and then doors close. How many of y'all have had some closed doors in your life? Okay. And you're sitting there going, there's no way. I think too many times what we do is we go to the door we think, we'll try the handle, and when it's locked, we'll start bumping up in it with our shoulder. Then we'll start kicking it. We won't look to see the fact that sometimes God is the one who has closed that door. Well, if he closes a door, he is going to open another one. So today, this is what we're looking at when we're looking at a classic example of this out of Acts chapter 16, specifically verses 6 through 10. So it's going to be a continuation of last week. So I'm going to hit what we hit last week and then carry you in to those final 2 points. But Acts chapter 16, beginning with verse 6, says this. It says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Let's look to the Lord in the word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now in the stillness of your house, and Lord, with our hearts prepared, we come around your word. And Father, your word tells us, you tell us, that your word does not return void. It is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. So today, Father, I pray that as you speak to our hearts, not if you speak to our hearts, but as you speak to our hearts, that you would truly give us ears to hear what the Spirit would have to say. Now, Lord, along with that, I am simply a mere messenger, a fallible man, saved by grace. But God, I pray that you will use me in these next moments to be your mouthpiece to your people, Lord, whether they're here, whether they're watching online, wherever they may be within the sound of my voice, may you be lifted up that you might draw all men unto you. So, Lord, bless our time as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we talked about last week that the context of this particular passage matters. Oftentimes when you have context, it helps you to understand what's going on. Paul, at this point, is on his second missionary journey. He's not sitting still. He's not taking time off. He's not retired. He is not sitting still. He is not disobedient. He is not careless. He is actively trying to take the gospel to new places. He and his companions are moving forward. They're planning. They're attempting things. They're serving. They're preaching. And yet, again and again, God closes doors and then opens another one along the way. Now, that's important for us to know because sometimes we imagine that following God's leadership means that every step is going to be smooth sailing. I know we've all been there before. We think, oh, this is going to be great. We just, you know, follow along, and following the Lord's plan is going to be an easy one, and every step should be smooth. That's what we think, but that's not the way it goes. Sometimes we think every answer comes quickly, and every decision becomes obvious to it. That'd be a great spiritual world to live in, wouldn't it? You know, where you just sit back and, if you're like I am, not, you know, I always say confession's good for the soul. So have there ever been times in your life when you've said, Lord, hold on a minute, I'm confused. And then you've said, Lord, nobody's around. It's just me and you. How about speaking to me audibly like you did back in the Old Testament days? You know, I want to follow you, and you know I want to follow you, but Lord, I got to, if I hear it from you, all's going to be right with it. How many of y'all have ever done that before? Lord, and then second to that is, Lord, give me a sign, you know. We start. That's another message for another day. But the bottom line is the Lord saying, I gave you the instructions. Listen, you just need to listen to me. And sometimes it's difficult because, you know, I've said this. We said it last week. I'll mention it again as we go forward. God doesn't always give us every step of the way. We want the roadmap. I'm that way. I want the roadmap. Lord, this is where we are. This is where we're going. Give me the route, give me the speed, give me the stops, give me everything along the way that I need. Is that you? Yeah, give me the roadmap. And the Lord says, no, I'm not going to give you the roadmap. The Lord says, start the car. And you say, okay, where are we going? He's, I'll tell you. I have a hard time with that. Because usually when somebody does that to me, they start talking and not paying attention to where we're going. Now, I shared with you one time that was on a Baptist on missions trip in a tractor trailer truck in the mountains of Virginia and West Virginia along the border. And the guy, remember I told you, I think it was last week, I said, all of a sudden, the guy goes, I don't think we're on the right road. And yeah, he's giving me directions. We're 30 miles out of the way. And we had to turn around and come 30 miles back up. You ever tried to turn around an 18-wheeler on a mountain road in West Virginia to go the other direction? I don't recommend it. So sometimes, you know, we have issues with that. But let me tell you, God is never asleep. He's never on standby. He is going to give you what you need as you need, one step of the time. So there's a word for today, because many of us want God's will in that roadmap form, and often he gives it to us in lamp form. Remember what the word says, thy word is a lamp unto thy feet, a light unto thy path. You know, we'll hide its words in our heart that we might not sin against God. Sometimes he's just showing you where your next step is. And I mentioned before that even in the Lord's Prayer, he says, and all of us know this, give us this day our daily bread. Not pack the cabinets for a week or 2 weeks or next month or a year. Give us this day. God wants us to count on him and rely on him every step along the way of the journey that he has put us on. He doesn't show us the whole road. He gives us enough light to see the next step. So from this passage, I want us to look at the theme of following the Lord's leadership in our lives. And most of us, that's what we want, but sometimes we find it difficult. And sometimes we also find it very difficult to share with somebody else when we're finding a bunch of closed doors. Why? Because if we do that, that makes us not spiritual. Yeah, you must not be spiritual if God is not speaking loudly and clearly to you. And sometimes that's what we think. Now, that's a lie straight from the pits of hell from the devil. But the bottom line is, we will all find ourselves in those places and in those situations. So I want us to see, you know, four different things within this text that will help us to learn how we can live under God's direction. Now, we covered two of them last week, so I just want to highlight them for a moment so we can hit three and four today. Last week, we talked about the Lord's leadership sometimes includes closed doors. How many of y'all have ever found closed doors? Now, those same people that just were honest and said, I have found some closed doors as the Lord has been leading. How many of you all would say that you felt 100% for sure in your heart that was the door God wanted you to shake the door handle on? Yeah. And then it becomes confusing, doesn't it? All of a sudden, we're like, wait a minute. You know, I'm sure I didn't misread this. And then we go back and we begin to evaluate. And then sometimes we even sit back and go, Lord, I'm pretty sure I didn't miss it. Are you teasing me? Why is the door locked? And all the while God is saying, I'm giving this to you step by step. Over in verse 6, verse 6 says this, that they had, it says, they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, being forbidden. Did you get that word? Being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. That does not make spiritual sense, does it? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, how many times, I mean, that would be like me saying that the Lord told me I was not to preach the gospel in a certain place. That just, I don't know. I have a hard time wrapping my head around it, because the word says that he would that none should perish, right? He don't want people to die and go to hell. You know, why would the Lord say, don't go over there and preach? There's a lot of reasons. The timing may not be right. He may not have finished preparing those hearers before you get there. There may be danger along the way. There could be a multiplicity of reasons why God does what he does. And ours, here's the hard part, ours is not to ask why. Ours is to follow the Lord. Now, it was very clear in this passage that they knew they were forbidden to preach the word in Asia. We don't see any problem with them understanding that, do we? So when the Lord says no, the best thing to do is follow what the Lord says, all right? And then verse 7 says, after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go in Bethania, but the Spirit did not permit them. I call that the leadership nudge. And you know what the leadership nudge is. You probably don't do it much anymore because you've got a few years on you and you're afraid to do this to somebody. Have you ever nudged somebody the way they needed to go? You know, if you've ever been an elementary school teacher, you know. Sometimes, Judy, you got to give them a little shove in the right direction, don't you? You know, the leader of the pack might be walking up there and you kind of walk them over that way a little bit. You kind of nudge them, you know, where they need to go. Now, and you've done that to your friends before where you've just kind of knocked them over into the direction that you wanted them to go. Sometimes we need the leadership nudge. So the boys are on their way. They're trying to preach the gospel. They've got all the best intent, and the Lord says, not there. And by the way, don't start judging the Lord for his reasoning why. And then so they said, okay, fine, we'll move on. So they go to the next place, the next logical place. These guys are just trying to preach the word. And they're saying, well, we'll go in here and preach. And the Lord says, nope, not there either. You know, at this point, you know what we do? Because we're not patient people, are we? I mean, let's be honest. Most of us are not patient. And then what we do is we usually do this, all right? Door number one has closed. Door number two is closed. And we sit back and go, I'm done. I'm finished. The Lord just doesn't know what he's doing because he's not coming over to my plan. Is that what God wants us to do? No, he wants us to keep digging. He wants us to keep going. And people will often ask me, they'll say, what am I supposed to do in the meantime? That's where the waiting is the hardest part. They ought to write a song about that, right? The waiting is often the hardest part. But the thing about it is, here's what you do when God keeps closing doors. You keep doing the last thing that you know that God told you to do. All right? Now, these guys were on their way to preach somewhere. They knew that's what they were supposed to do. First destination? Nope. Second destination? Nope. So what should they do now? Start looking for the third destination. Don't sit idly by. Remember, I shared with you about the friend of mine who was called to preach, went to Bible college, had, I saw opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for him. Was there the day that a church approached him and said, will you come be our pastor? And heard the word, well, let me pray about it. That sounds spiritual, doesn't it? Now, I've said this before. Now, some of y'all may disagree with me, and that's okay. There are certain things I don't think you have to pray about. I think there are certain things God has already placed in your heart that you don't have to pray about. They're the answer to the question. It is the open door to what it is that he's showing you. And me, I'm sitting there going, Mike, there it is. Yeah, go pray about it, Mike. But listen, and Mike's saying, I just don't know. I'm sitting there going, Mike, it doesn't get any better than this. God just dropped this in your lap. What is the matter with you? Go for it, brother. You want to drive a school bus for the rest of your life and you're telling me God's called you to ministry? Ta-da! Walk through the door. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it. Decades later, he still had never done it. I shared with you that I ran into him making smoothies in a mall. And I'm going. And God not only opened doors, but he had the bright light shining down. You know, when he goes, walk through the door. He knows what we need. He knows where we are. And the Spirit has shut down two different places. That is not the kind of verse that you naturally want to underline in your Bible when you're looking for God's direction along the way. We like the doors wide open. We like the lights to be green. We like the easy yes. But right here in the middle of a gospel mission, the Holy Spirit is saying no. The Spirit forbids them from one place and does not permit them into another. And most of us at that point would become spiritually frustrated. Been there, hadn't you? Been a little spiritually frustrated along the way? And you're like, and then see, we start second guessing everything. Am I reading this right? I mean, why would God not want me to preach over there? And we start asking all kinds of questions. And usually what happens is at that particular point, we stop. We pause. We pull over. We sit down. And we begin to try to determine what's going on. Now, I'm not saying that that's all wrong. Sometimes in life, you need to stop along the way because things are completely out of control. And you really need to evaluate where you are. But when you evaluate where you are and you find yourself in the midst of God's will, don't second guess Him. That's really what I'm after right there. That's really what we're going for today. Now, let's be careful. That doesn't mean that Paul is doing something sinful, and that's the reason that things have been shut down. You know, the text doesn't say that he was stubbornly pursuing his own ambition. It says that he was trying to preach the word. He was trying to do a good thing. He wanted to go where people had not heard the gospel. That sounds like what God wants us to do, doesn't it? He wants to serve Christ, but even good desires need God's direction. Even ministry plans need the Lord's leadership along the way. Even sincere efforts can be redirected, all right? If you ever do mission work, and I'm talking about go on a mission trip, you go somewhere, what you think is going to happen is going to change. Like Sheetrock, right, Mike? I love that. I'm going to tell on Mike. Mike said on a mission trip years ago, Mike said, you know what? He said, I'll do anything you want to do. We'll build this. But we'll do whatever you want to do. I ain't hanging Sheetrock. Guess what they did? Hung Sheetrock all week. Steve could probably give us testimony after testimony of this past week being up in West Virginia about how their plans got redirected. Plan on going here, you wind up over there. See, God sometimes nudges you in the right direction. I can't tell you the number of times that Jimmy and I have been out on the road taking a piece of equipment somewhere, and they'll call on the way, say, no, don't go there, go here. Or can you, after you do that, can you go do this and this and that? That wasn't part of the plan. Yet usually it's kind of like, well, let's see if the Lord helped us to pack enough water, tea, and soft drinks in the refrigerator to be able to make this trip. You go with God's redirection. And that is one of the hardest lessons of the Christian life. Amen? Because we like the roadmap. A closed door is not always a sign of failure. Sometimes it's a sign of God's guidance. Sometimes God says no because He has a better thing ahead for you and I. Sometimes what He has is one of those situations where He says, this is where I want you to be. Don't settle for second best. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Notice that we plan, but the Lord directs. And sometimes that means changing, scrapping the whole plan. You ever had God just scrap your whole plan? Yeah, you go and you're like, Lord, this is what I got for you. And He looks at it and He goes, no. That's nice. I like the colored pencil work you did on it and everything. You worked hard on it, but that's not it. That's not what I have for you. Many of us know what it is to have our plans interrupted. You thought that you would take the job that fell and it fell through. You thought the relationship would go forward, but it wound up ending. You thought that the ministry opportunity was a sure thing, but it never happened. You thought that you'd move here, but the circumstances blocked you there. And if you're not careful, you're going to interpret every closed door as rejection. And that's what you can't do. When God closes doors, it's not rejection. you're going to look at every delay as God's abandonment, and that's not the case. He's never left you, and he never will. You'll look at every redirection as a punishment, and when you do that, you're looking through the wrong lens. You just got to say, God knows what he's doing, even when the things we don't understand. This passage teaches us that the Holy Spirit can forbid one route while still being fully committed to the mission that he had them on. The gospel is not stalled because one road's closed. The Lord is not confused because your plans changed. He is never improvising in the midst of some sort of panic. That's not God. You've often heard me say this. If there's one person in life that's not having a Malox moment over your situation, it's God, because he knows what the deal is. He knows the beginning and he knows the end. He's never improvising in the midst of your panic. He's wise, he's sovereign, and he's purposeful. I mentioned Joseph. We talked about Joseph's life. As a matter of fact, in my Wednesday series, that's one of the things I'm doing. Joseph's life looked like a mess. I look at Joseph and say, I'm kind of glad I wasn't him. His brothers hated him because he was his father's favorite son. They were going to kill him. Then they sold him into slavery. He goes into Potiphar's household as a slave. He is doing such a good job there, he's put in charge of Potiphar's household. And then all of a sudden, Potiphar's wife starts having eyes for him. Y'all know what I'm saying? Tries to seduce him. He's still trying to do what's good and wholesome and right. She lies on him. He finds himself in prison. If there was ever a cat that would be ready to say, look, man, what are you doing, God? It would be Joseph. But yet, if you notice that, if you read the story of Joseph, many times it says this, and everything Joseph did prospered. You know why? Because it was all part of God's plan to get him where he would be. Now, I would be remiss if I left you at the end of the story with Joseph in prison, because that isn't how the story ends. Joseph goes and interprets a dream while in prison. And one minute he's a prisoner, and by the next morning he's the second in command over all the land. Remember his dream that there was going to be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. And Joseph even tells Pharaoh, he says, look, knowing that's coming, this would be a good plan. Build barns, store up, so that when the 7 years of bad comes, you'll be in good shape. Pharaoh says, that sounds like a good idea. You're in charge. And we also know that later, that the same brothers that tried to off him, that sold him into slavery, would come to him for food, by which, without, they would have starved to death. God's got a plan, even when it looks so very dark. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things, remember this verse when it comes to this, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28, and you know that. You've heard it. But see, hearing it and connecting it are often two separate things, aren't they? Putting those in when it needs to be. So here are the practical questions we went over. You know, how do we respond when God closes doors? Well, first, you keep moving in obedience, okay? Paul did not sit down in the midst of bitterness. He did not throw up his hands. He kept on going. There was not, or there was like a holy persistence that he had. And when one road was blocked, he didn't quit the mission. He started looking for another road. And sometimes the other road might be a path rather than a wide open highway. They simply kept walking until the Lord made clear what the next step was. Second, you refuse to panic. We panic, don't we, buddy? Don't panic. Sometimes delay is not denial. Sometimes closed door is just a pause in the Lord's timing. You may not know why, but you can trust that the one who does know why has got you in the position he's got you in. The third thing, we need to remember that God's refusals are merciful, all right? If the Lord stops you from a path, it's because he loves you too much to let you settle for less than what his will for your life is, okay? We don't always know the dangers that are hidden behind the door that God closes, and we don't always know the temptation or the distraction or the detour or the waste that he is protecting us from. Often there's a big monster behind that door that he's forbidding us to go through. So the other thing we covered, the Lord's leadership often requires us to have patience during continued movement. That is not a good word. I don't like that word. You know why? Because I'm not that person. And what word am I talking about? Patience. How many of us are really patient? I mean, two of you. Y'all better be up here at the altar call. We don't like to be patient. Now, we know it's value, but we want something now, don't we? When we want it right this minute. There's something here. You see, the Lord's leadership requires patient waiting as well as continued movement. There's something else here that's easy to miss, and that is Paul is not given the full plan all at once. Nope, just one step at a time. He's being guided in stages. First, the door closes. Then another door closes. Then he comes to Troas. Yeah, in other words, God is not revealing the whole destination immediately. He is leading them one step at a time. See, that's the fun part, that when you learn, like going on mission trips, we have learned, our Cuba team has learned this, we don't go with a plan. Because if we do, it's going to get trashed. We just go and say, Lord, here we are. Where you need us. And you know what he does? He goes, bump. Bump. He bumps us down the roads we need to be on. He takes us to the places we need to be. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I mean, I'm serious. Even last year, yeah, Mike got a whole sack of guitar strings and whatnot. And we're at a place, we're talking with this pastor, and Mike pulls out these guitar strings, and you would have thought it was like, yeah, Santa Claus just appeared. And he's like, no, you don't understand. And so this pastor calls his son, and he used this moment for a teaching moment. And his son was a really good guitar player. And he needed guitar strings. That's what he needed. And his daddy, the pastor, said, son, if you have a need, you take it to the Lord in prayer. You need to pray for this. So all the while, he's having a conversation with his son in Spanish that we don't get. It's like we were not there for a moment. And he basically was telling his son, remember, you took your need to the Lord in prayer, and God is the one who provides provision. And then after he finished using that as a teaching moment, he took those strings and he handed them to his son and said, there is your answer to prayer. Not, look at these hillbillies from New York that came over here and brought guitar strings. This was your answer to prayer. You see, it took God leading Mike to be able to say, hey, these are some things that I think would be good to take, and being obedient to do that. And then it took us not having that particular visit scheduled to be there and God to open doors to say, here it is. Man, let me tell you something. That's a fun journey. It really is. That's a fun journey. And you're sitting there going, oh, now I get it, Lord. So we just go and say, Lord, here we are. Now, let me make one addendum here. That does not mean that you sit around lazy and don't plan. That is not what that means. That means that you seek the Lord's will. Because you know what? If we weren't doing that, we would never have gotten on an airplane and gone over there to start with. Remember, the Lord steers the moving car, not the parked car. All right? So, great to see how he does those things. He is leading them step by step, and that's how God often works in the lives of his people. We want chapter and verse for the whole situation. We want chapter and verse for the whole year, but God gives us enough grace to get us through today. That's God. We want the name of the city. We want the date of this move. We want the person to marry. We want the job to take. We want the exact route to follow. And the Lord says, walk with me, trust me. I will show you as we go. And I'm that guy that goes, ah, no, just tell me now. He's like, just trust me. One step at a time. One moment. Oh, and by the way, you realize that if you trust him one day at a time, one step at a time, that means you have to be present with Him that day to trust Him. Are you present with Him every day, every moment? What is the old hymn? I need thee every hour. It's not just you go by and get orders and leave. No, he's with you. Sometimes the hardest part of following God is not making a decision when the answer seems to be really obvious. The hardest part is the waiting in between. You know, when you're waiting on the answers, the patience that three people in here have, that I don't. It's difficult. The closed doors do not mean there's nothing forever. They may mean keep walking until God clarifies the path. Okay? Verse 8 says this, so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And that little phrase matters because it says they passed by. They kept moving. They did not let confusion paralyze them where they were. They did not camp in disappointment. They didn't turn uncertainty into disobedience, but they kept going until they reached a place where God had prepared the next word. There's a lot of wisdom in that. Some people think that faith means sitting still until lightning strikes from heaven. Yeah, and we've asked for that. But see, often faith means that that we're doing the last thing that God clearly told us to do while we're waiting for the next direction. Okay? If you already know that the Bible says to pray, then pray. If you already know that the Bible says to witness, then witness. If you already know that the Bible says to be faithful in your local church, then be faithful. If you already know to work honestly and to love your family and to forgive your brother and to keep your conscience clear, then do all of that while you are in the midst of waiting. Okay? What is it? James chapter 4, verse 15 says, instead, ye ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. That means every day. That is a simple everyday thing. Now, the third and the fourth thing, and then I'll get you out of here. The Lord's leadership becomes clear when He speaks through His word and His call. Everything that you do in the name of the Lord will be backed up by the word of the Lord. Do you get that? I cannot tell you how many times somebody has come to me and they have said, preacher, I feel like this is what God wants me to do. Preacher, I feel like that the Lord wants me to live with my potential spouse until such time that we're married. At that point, I can say, you are 100% wrong. Well, how do you know that? Because the Word tells us that's not the way it's supposed to be. The Word tells us about fornication. The Word tells us about adultery. And it says very clearly, thou shalt not. So if it is not in keeping with the Word, then it is not of God. I will stand on that until the Lord calls me home. If there is something in the Word, whether a thou shalt not or a precept that says you should not do this, then it is never, ever, ever okay. Because God will not say anything or do anything that will contradict His Word. Because in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God. That's Him right there. So if the Word tells you, if the Word says no, then don't do it. I mean, I can't get so big and theological. I just know don't do this because the Word says it. That's clear, all right? Verse 9 says this. You see, the Lord's leadership becomes clear when He speaks to us through His Word. Verse 9 says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. That's the kind of leadership I want in my life. Lord, I don't know where to go. And then the Lord gives him a vision of a man in Macedonia. Guess what? Guess he knew where he was from. I don't know if he had a church on, had a shirt on that said Macedonia Mustangs. I don't know how he knew, other than God's will. But I do know this, that in the vision, he knew that the man was from Macedonia. How do you think he knew? Because the Lord told him. Whether he was standing by the sign that said, "Welcome to Macedonia," I don't know what it was, but God clearly let him know this was a man from Macedonia. And what were the words in this verse? The man said, "We need some help. Come over here and help us." Now, if I am the missionary boys and I'm sitting there going, "Lord, you've closed this door, you've closed that door," and all of a sudden the Lord gives me clear guidance to a place called Macedonia and they're begging for help, they want you to be there, all of a sudden I'm like, ta-da, eureka, let's see if God has opened this door. Well, guess what? Macedonia was wide open and they walked right in. Because God led them. God made them go past and through some places that he said, "This is not it. This is where I want you to be." Now hear this clearly. It wasn't because God didn't love those people in the places they passed through. It's because God had a plan and God had a prepared people. Plain and simple. That's what it's about. This is the turning point. In our passage today, the Lord who closed the previous doors now is given direction. He doesn't leave Paul wandering around out there forever. He leads him towards Macedonia. And the vision is not merely geographical, it's missionary. It's a plea for help. Come over and help us. We need you. This is the heartbeat of the gospel. People that need help. People who are lost. People who are spiritually dead apart from Christ. People who are in darkness. The gospel is not a self-help message. It is rescue. It is a life. It is hope. It is the good news that Jesus saves lost sinners. And notice the content of the call. The man pleads. This is what he says. Come over and help us. And that is exactly what the world needs from the church. The world does not need condemnation from the church. The world does not need entertainment from the church. The world does not need religious performances. Not mere advice, but help. Real help. Eternal help. The help that only the gospel can bring. Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?" People need someone to come. And you want to know why we go down to Camp Carefree. You want to know why we get on a plane and we go to Cuba. You want to know why we do the things that we do. Because there are people who need help. They need the message proclaimed. They need Christ preached. Yeah, God in his mercy sends messengers. Those who are willing to say, like Isaiah, "Here am I, Lord, send me." It's not about staying around. And this is important. The Lord's leadership isn't random. It's not just moving Paul around for convenience sake. You know, he was steering the mission of the gospel toward people that he had prepared to hear that message. The Lord knew the need of the Macedonian people before Paul ever saw the vision. He knew the hearts were hungry. He knew the plan of salvation. He was about to unfold for that particular reason. And that should encourage us when we think about calling. A lot of people want a dramatic vision, but most of the time the Lord reveals through just very clear truths, his word, and through wise godly counsel and through believers and through opportunities that he places before us and the burdens that he puts on our heart. And I want to say that's important. Burden will drive vision and ministry. You know what a burden is? Now, some of us are defining that wrong. A burden is something that we feel like we carry that's heavy. Like a mule is a beast of burden. But you know what a burden is? A burden is something that God puts on your heart that you can't get out of your heart. It is something that God reaches down and he gets your heart to the point where he squeezes it and tears come out of your eyes. It's the love that he puts in your heart for a people that drives you to a point to do something about it. That, my friend, is what a burden is. And let me tell you this. If there is not a burden for lost people, if we don't care, we will not reach out to lost people. We will turn inward on ourselves. It will be more about us maintaining us than being instruments in the hand of a living God. Has God put the burden in your heart? We don't need to chase some sort of mystical experience. We need to be obedient to what God has already said, and we need to be attentive to where he is clearly working. Think about how the vision addresses both Paul's mission and who he is. Now, let me get down here to the latter part of it. I think I've about beat that point to death. You understand it. Y'all are smart, and the Holy Spirit is leading in our hearts, all right? The final thing I want us to see is this, that the Lord's leadership demands immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. Verse 10 of our text says, "Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." They didn't have a board meeting about it. They didn't have a committee meeting about it. They didn't discuss it among themselves. They didn't do any of that. The word immediately is powerful. They did not delay. They did not argue. They did not demand some sort of proof. They did not ask for signs. They did not say, "Let us think about it for a few months and determine what we need to do." They concluded that the Lord had called them, and when they did, they moved immediately. That is when God wants you to do anything that he shows you. Immediately. Remember what I said? Anything that he has shown you? Sometimes we're waiting for him to show us something. But when he shows you, now is the appointed time. Today is the day. See, that's the proper response to very clear direction from God. Obedience without unnecessary hesitation. Now, let's be honest. Immediate obedience is not always easy. Sometimes we want to negotiate with God. We have become really good negotiators, haven't we? We want to say, "Yes, Lord, but we'll do that later." Or, "Lord, yes, but after I get settled." Or, "Lord, yes, but only if it's convenient." Or, "Lord, yes, but I got a few other things I got to take care of first." And we've all been there. See, but delayed obedience can become disobedience. Let me rephrase that. Delayed obedience can become disobedience. You following me? When God makes his will clear, the proper answer is yes. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. Love and obedience are two things that go together. We don't obey to earn salvation by any stretch of the imagination, but we do what we do because we are saved. A lot more can be said about that, but you understand it. There's a lesson here for every believer. When God makes his direction known, do not sit on it. Obey it. If he has called you to repentance, then repent. If he has called you to forgive, forgive. If he has called you to serve, then serve. If he has called you to witness, then speak. If he has called you to give, then give. If he has called you to move, then move. If he has called you to stay, then stay. The issue is not whether the path seems comfortable. The issue is whether or not the Lord has called. That's what it's about. People all the time like, "Hey, let's get busy. Get busy with what it is that God has given us." He has talented us all with some incredible different ways. It's kind of interesting to see how some of the talents and abilities get used. You know, your ministry has touched some of my neighbors. See the little blankets and the little bibs, that new little babies and an opportunity to talk Jesus. It's pretty cool. And some, she didn't even know that until just now. Yeah. Hey, man, listen, I'll exercise. You got a talent and ability that I can leverage for you? Bring it on. I don't sew well, but I know somebody who does. And the heart and the passion through which those were made for little babies need to be in the hands of little babies. I didn't want just anyone to take those and put them out. I want to do it myself so I can tell you what's going on and how God is blessing what you have done. No, it wasn't just something that you said, here are these. No, God uses them. Sometimes people say, I want God's will, but what they really mean is, I want God's will as long as it matches my preferences. That's not following the Lord's leadership. Following the Lord means surrender. It means taking our will off of the throne and placing Christ back where he belongs. Finally, as we wrap up today, we need to trust the Lord. We need to follow the Lord, and we need to go with the Lord. In Acts 16, verses 6 through 10, which is our text today, it teaches us that following the Lord's leadership is not always about open roads from the start. Sometimes the Lord begins by closing some doors. Sometimes he leads by redirection, little bump to the side, to get us where we need to be. And sometimes he makes us wait and he makes us keep on walking. Sometimes he clarifies the path only after we have trusted him through the uncertainty. And when he speaks clearly, he calls us for immediate obedience. So what do we do with this passage? Every good preacher's got a first, second, and a third. I got four real quick. Here's what they are, and I mean they'll be quick. What do we do with what we've learned today? First, we have to stop assuming that a closed door means that God has forgotten us. He has not. He may be steering us towards something better, so he has not forgotten us. That's number one. The second thing is that we need to keep moving in faith while we wait. We do the next right thing. We stay faithful in what we know. We do not let uncertainty become paralysis in who we are in Christ. The third thing, we keep our ears open to the Lord's call, especially his call to the lost. The man of Macedonia still stands in every generation as a picture of a world that is needing to hear the gospel. People need the gospel. People need Christ. They need someone to come to them with the good news. You know why? Because most often, they're not going to come to you. That means we have to go to them. Is our mission centered around 1715 Highway 68, or is it centered to the world that needs us? Back years ago, we talked about windows and mirrors. We know the difference, don't we? Yeah, a mirror is something that most of us looked at this morning, didn't we? But what the thing about a mirror is you see what's in front of you. You see what's right here, correct? But we know the difference between a window. If you go over there and you open up a window, you see outside, don't you? You see the things that are going over there. Not just the things that are on the inside. And I said probably 10 or better years ago, do we want to be a church of mirrors or do we want to be a church of windows? Do we want to be a church that looks inside to itself only? Or do we want to be a church that picks up the mission of Christ that says there's a lost and dying world out there and we need to see people the way Jesus sees them? Windows or mirrors? I want to challenge you today to look at even what you do in ministry and ask yourself, is it a mirror or is it a window? Because see, the third thing is that we keep our ears open to the Lord's call. Finally, the fourth thing. When the Lord's direction becomes clear, we obey without delay. We move immediately. We do not drag our feet. We do not treat the Lord's call like one opinion among many and try to sit there and sort them out. He is the Lord. We will follow. Plain and simple. And if you're here today and you're wrestling with some direction, let me remind you of the greatest leadership all of us need, and that is the leadership of Jesus Christ himself. The same Lord who guided Paul guides his people today, and the first step in following him is to surrender your life to him in faith. He's not merely a guide for your schedule. He is a savior for your soul. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead. He calls sinners to repent and sinners to believe in the gospel message. Succumb to him. Trust him. Follow him. He has closed, if he's closed doors in your life, then trust his wisdom. If he's opened doors, then walk through them with obedience and with confidence. If he is saying wait, then wait with faith. If he is saying go, then go with courage. And if he is saying preach, serve, pray, give, forgive, witness, then do it all with all of your heart as unto the Lord. That is what walking with the Lord should be. May we be a people who do not merely ask for direction, but who submit to the one who gives direction. Lord, wherever you lead, I will follow. Whatever you say, I will obey. You ask, I will do. Because the Lord who guides us is the wise Lord who calls us and is the same one that's faithful in our lives, plain and simple. He'll never lead us astray. So can we follow his leadership with humble hearts, with steadfast feet, with immediacy in our obedience to him until the day that we get to see him face to face? Sometimes it's difficult along the journey, isn't it? Sometimes we're just confused. Brad, you guys come on up. We're about ready to have our invitation. Think about it today. First things first, do you know Jesus? Listen, if you don't know him, you're not his child. When you say, Lord, you know, he's kind of like, who are you? When I say, Lord, he goes, oh, it's Roy again. He calls me by name because he knows his children by name. God's not done with you. God's given you something to use for him. Will we be obedient? Will we walk through doors? Will we be looking into mirrors in the future? Or will we be looking out windows in the future? Are we more concerned about maintenance here or about the gospel message outside there? That means we got to go. That means we got to go. Man, I'll tell you, this has been the best church I know, and I know of a lot of churches, the best church I know that supports missions. You support missions better than churches I know that are 10 times our size. I believe it's because you believe that missions is what God's called us to do. And I wish I could explain to every one of you what God has done through you in various places. People are coming to know Jesus today because of what you've done yesterday. Because what you've done through teams that have gone out, that have made a lasting mark on their lives. So let me ask you, first of all, the personal question. Do you know Jesus? Have you trusted him? And listen, there's a lot of people, we church stuff up, don't we? We use a lot of church lingo and that sort of thing. And sometimes people say, I don't even know what that is. I remember a new believer one time that was coming to the church that I previously pastored, and we were talking about homecoming. And he asked me at lunch that day, he said, well, where's that ball game going to be? I said, what are you talking about, ball game? He said, well, you talking about homecoming? He said, where do you play that at? Now, he was serious. This guy never grew up in church. Listen, if you've never grown up in church, you think homecoming is where you crown a queen, you play a football game, right? Sometimes we get confused. Sometimes we use church language. And when I figured out, I was like, no, that's like our church anniversary. And I said, we get together and we celebrate that the Lord's given us another year. And he's like, oh, and he was serious. And he wasn't a young guy either. So I don't want to church things up. I talk to you about being saved, being born again. Do you know what that means? If you don't, listen, me and you need to have a conversation. Oh, you got to, don't be embarrassed. Just say, look, man, I don't want to go to hell, but I don't really know what you mean by being saved. Let's talk, okay? As soon as they start playing this song, just come down here and say, look, me and you need to sit down, and we need to talk, because you need to understand that. You need to have given your heart to Jesus. You need to have trusted him. Have you done that? That is salvation. Then, as his followers, as his children, we need to follow him in a way that is pleasing to him, because he called us to be Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not just on Sundays. He's called us and he's gifted us to use talents and abilities for him. Are you doing that? Don't say, I don't have anything to contribute, or there's nothing significant. Even a baby blanket, even a little crocheted stocking cap is a great way for somebody like me to be able to share the gospel, because somebody like you had the talent to do something to give me as a tool to use. What is your tool? What's God given you for the toolbox? And are you using it for his honor and for his glory? Listen, whatever you need, listen, if you need Jesus, I beg you today, come see me. Listen, if you're watching online, yeah, you need to get in contact with me. You send a message right now to Dr. K and tell him, you know, preacher needs to call me today, and I'll get in touch with you about Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you got a swift kick in the britches again, and there's some things that we need to understand. We need to turn the mirrors into windows. We need to look outside, and we need to be obedient to what the doors that God opens, and we need to be obedient immediately, not later. I can still remember something that Roger told me, Roger Howerton, great saint who was with Jesus today. In conversation where a particular incident, he said, this is what the Lord told us to do, and we didn't do it. He said, oh, we did it halfway, but halfway is not all the way. And he said, because we only did it halfway, we missed out on one of God's great blessings. He said, we should have been obedient. Oh, it would have been costly. Yes, it would have been something that would have been difficult. But I remember him sitting there saying, this is what we should have done way back when, and we didn't do it. I don't want us to be in that situation to have to say that. God's huge. He's huge. He's bigger than we can anticipate. What has he put on your heart? If you need a good old altar, it's up here. If you need to spend some time with the Lord here, I'm up here if you need to speak with me. Would you do business with what God has put in your life as we stand together and sing our invitation hymn, number 281, Speak to My Heart.
Thank you.
you bow your head, as you close your eyes, as you make it right with the Lord. Remember we talked about immediate obedience. If He's spoken to your heart, right now is the time to deal with what He's put on your heart. Make sure it's right before you leave this place today. As you continue to seek Him, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, You are indeed so good to us, and Lord, as we worship You by giving back a portion that You have so incredibly blessed us with, I pray that we not only would be found faithful, Lord, You want to do something in our lives when we're faithful with our giving, but Lord, we also pray that You would help us as Your church to be good stewards of what belongs to You. So Lord, we pray You'll bless the gift as well as the giver during this time, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today. Just wanted you to know that actually we have two of them today. One of them is Angel Penson. She has a birthday today, so be sure to hug her neck before you get out of this room. And Ruby Stoltz. Ruby's birthday is today. Everybody knows Miss Ruby. Look at that. That looks just like Ruby, don't it? There you go. So Ruby and Angel both have birthdays today. Tomorrow, Susan Wood will celebrate her birthday. As well as Friday, Annette Vernon will have a birthday. So we got all kinds of birthday folks in our midst today. We just want to wish you guys a very happy birthday. And then also we do have an anniversary coming up this coming Friday. It's Lindsay and Chris Harrell will actually celebrate their anniversary this coming Friday. So be sure to give those folks the best well wishes that you can. Send them a card, cash, checks, whatever. They'll take whatever that you'll give them, but pass a little love along to them. along the way. Just a couple of things on the agenda for today. Sunday, which is today, at 4:45, choir practice resumes right here in the sanctuary. So if you're part of the choir, be sure to be here. If you're not part of the choir and desire to be a part of the choir, be here at 4:45 today. We'd love to have you. At 6 o'clock will be the adult Bible study right here in the sanctuary. I'll be handling that. And then Monday, we have our two discipleship groups, D-Life groups meeting. Steve's group meets at 6 o'clock here at the church. Maury's 6:30 at the Kelly home. And then Wednesday will be the ladies' connection meeting at 6 o'clock over here in Family Life Center 116. Just as a reminder, the library will be open on Sundays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. There's other days and times you can go by appointment. And you can, if you need an appointment, you can talk to Susan Wood or Barbara Anderson, and they will meet you there to get that squared away and taken care of. Also, as a reminder, next Sunday here in the sanctuary at the, in the early service will be the ministerial ordination of Steve Kelly. So we want you to come and be a part of that. We look forward to it. Steve will bring a small message after his ordination and after the challenge from the church. So, I'm going to just give him a few minutes, you know, because my challenge will probably last up to time. So y'all can yell at him for being over. Following that, there is going to be a reception for Steve that'll be right next door over here on Sunday morning. If you can attend that, please sign the sign-up sheet back there in the narthex. So we would love to have you celebrate right along with Steve, and we're looking forward to what God's got in store for him as he uses this, and I'll call it a credential, but I'm going to say more his calling to counsel those on the disaster field. Steve was actually in Weston, West Virginia all last week, deployed with North Carolina Baptist on Missions, having a chance to talk to people in the most critical times of their lives. I know he led at least one to Jesus. Was there more? Was that? Just one. What? Just one. We talk like that. That's a big deal. He led a person to Jesus whose life had basically been destroyed in this flood. So keep him in your prayers. That's going to be next week. Please sign up to attend the reception. That'll be immediately after the service over in the gym. And then, what's that? Oh, okay. That's not finger food and pimento cheese sandwiches. We're talking fried chicken and a whole nine yards. So have lunch with us. I should say it's a lunch celebration for Steve. So now be sure to sign up so you can have your piece of fried chicken because you ain't getting mine this time. So be sure to sign up back there so we'll just know how many to be able to plan for. Also, on August the 16th, that's 2 weeks from today, we will have our annual business meeting. That's our annual business meeting. That's the best way for me to say it. So the one that's required by law, I think, for us to have. But at any rate, be sure to make plans for that. That's right after the service here, 2 weeks from today. Also, I want to let you know that on the 22nd, so everybody listen close and good to me. On the 22nd at 5 o'clock p.m. is going to be the retirement party for Pastor David. There is also a sign-up sheet in the narthex if you can come. And again, we're trying to figure out how many we need to plan for. But here's what we want you to do. Please bring, you know, a card or a personal note or a gift or something like that that you would like to give to David. If you are giving a financial gift to him, which would be nice, be sure to make it out to him. And there's a reason for that. Because if we run it through the church, it's something that's going to become taxable income for him. If you just give it to him, then it's not taxable, you know, from the church. It is a gift. So if you bring, you know, we want you to bring a card, a gift. By the way, the church will also be doing something in the way of a financial gift. But we want to make sure that this is separate so that way he doesn't wind up getting a 1099 for a retirement gifts, okay? So once again, that's actually going to be on the 22nd at 5 o'clock p.m. right here. And like I say, the church is going to be providing a financial gift, but we would like, as the Lord leads you, for you to be able to do that same thing. So at any rate, come celebrate with us and the new chapter in David and Donna's life, and we'll pray God's going to do some incredible things. I'm sure I've forgotten something. What is it? What's that? The closing. I'm going to do that. Hey, preacher's always going to do that. All right, guys, let's stand up. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. I love you. I appreciate you. I thank you so much for all your prayers, and do continue to pray for us as the Lord leads us and guides us, particularly into the future, now that we don't have a David with us. So let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again, we're thankful for your love, your mercy, and your grace upon us. Help us, Lord, to be all you want us to be. Go with us, Lord, as we go away from this place. I pray you'll bring us back again at the appointed time to come around your word. Help us to love one another in the manner in which you loved the church and gave yourself for it. And Lord, this world would be a different place. Help us to be the catalyst to get that started in the whole world. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tonight. Thank you.